I rewatched one of my favorite comedies of all time this week, Caddyshack. Truly a gem, a cinematic marvel of the ages. A movie about golf, of which I have no interest whatsoever, but filled with wonderful characters, Bill Murray and Chevy Chase and Ted Knight and his last movie. And it's just a fun movie. It's just goofy and funny. And my favorite scene in the whole movie, and then there's a lot to pick from, but my favorite scene, the movie kind of almost centers around this young caddy named Danny. And Danny's getting ready to graduate from high school. He's trying to figure out how he's going to go to college. He comes from a very large, very poor family. He's not going to be able to afford college on his own. And here he is caddying every day for these rich guys. He's hoping one of them might feel generous, might help him go to college. So he's talking to one of them, Chevy. He's talking to the character played by Chevy Chase is Ty, and he's talking to Ty, and he says, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to go to college. If I don't go to college, you know, I'm going to end up working in the lumberyard. And Ty's like, well, what's so bad about that? I own 2 lumberyards. And Danny goes, I notice you don't spend much time there. And he goes, well, I'm not sure where they are. And their conversation goes on. They're talking. Danny is really upset. He's really worried about what he's going to do, what's going to come, what's going to happen. Ty's trying to encourage him that, you know, sometimes in life, you have to be the ball. And he tells him, Danny, you got to just let go. You got to quit worrying so much. You've got to just take a breath. You got to let go and be the ball. And to illustrate this, he puts a blindfold on Danny, and he tees up the ball for him. He gets him in front of it. He goes, okay, I want you to swing away. He goes, the green is 180 yards down this way. He goes, swing away, just be the ball. And it's this dramatic moment. You know, Danny gets his stance, and he pulls back, and he smacks the ball, and it sails off into the water hazard. And he pulls the blindfold up, and he said, where'd it go? And Chevy Chase says, it landed in the lumberyard. And I love that scene. It's my favorite scene in the whole movie, of all the goofy scenes in the movie. Where did it go? It landed in the lumberyard. You know, as I was writing my sermon this week, and you can see the title of my sermon is Be the Light. And of course, the reason I watched Caddyshack was while writing the sermon, I chose that title, Be the Light, and I thought, oh, that's like Be the Ball. That's in Caddyshack. I should watch Caddyshack again. So I watched it again. But I got to thinking about that. You know, I get up here, and I encourage you week after week to do things like be the light. Go out and be the light. But I never touch much on what happens when we try our best to be the light, when we put ourselves out there to be the hope and the grace and the salvation that Christ has brought to this world, to shine that light into the world. When we do that, and the ball lands in the lumberyard anyway. Our scriptures today talk about light and darkness. First, we have Isaiah, who says that the people who have been walking in darkness have seen a great light. These people who have struggled for so long, who have wanted the slightest glimmer of hope in their lives, have finally seen the dawn breaking. They have seen that new light that is pushing the darkness back. It is called hope. Jesus, as he often does in his ministry, quotes Isaiah. And what he is doing, Jesus learns that John the Baptist has been arrested. And so he takes a step back for a minute to get himself ready for what's coming. He knows that this is a bad thing. That John the Baptist, John has been irritating anybody and everybody of power that he can. He has been talking against the authority in the synagogue. He's been talking against the power in the Jewish community. He's been talking about Roman authority. He has been railing against it. He referred to the Pharisees and the Sadducees as dens of vipers when they came to him. He has not been making friends. What he has been doing is baptizing thousands of people in the River Jordan, getting ready for the coming of Jesus. And Jesus knows that John being arrested is a bad thing, that there is real darkness coming. And so Jesus retreats and he dwells on the words of Isaiah. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. On them the dawn has come. He prepares himself for what comes next. He begins to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. We are called to be that great light. To the people who are in darkness, we are called to be the light. One thing we can certainly agree on is our world knows darkness. Darkness in the shape of hatred and cruelty. Darkness in the shape of hurt and pain and loss. Depression and death and confusion. Darkness in the shape of racism and misogyny and homophobia. Darkness in the shape of isolation and loneliness and heartache. We know the darkness all too well. We have all felt it at one time or another, maybe now. Maybe right now you're sitting there trying to concentrate on the hymns and the prayers and the communion, but you can feel your darkness nibbling around the edges of your consciousness, trying to move in on your spirit, trying to overwhelm you, suffocate you, cut you off. Here you are simply trying to sing, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," hoping you even remember what that tune is, but your heart's sobbing because it knows that even if you're able to fend off the darkness for this moment, it's still out there. It's still waiting. And in those moments, as the darkness creeps in and envelops your soul, all you are hoping for in that moment is a glimmer of light. We started something new this week. With my sabbatical coming up in the fall, we realized we needed somebody to help me with pastoral visits, somebody who, while I'm gone in the fall, can continue to visit our shut-ins, those in assisted living, those who are unable to get out of their own homes or who are in the hospital. And Francis Schaefer was kind enough to step up and say, "Hey, I can do that. I can help you with that." So over the next few months, Francis is going to go with me when we do visits. So this last Thursday was our first time, and Francis showed up bright and early, 9 o'clock, big smile on his face. Right? You know Francis, he's ready to go. He's already been up that morning, he's worked out, he's been to Bible study, he's ready to go. Let's go visit some people. Take him communion. Excellent. We're going to go out, we're going to shine that light of Jesus into the world. Let's go. First place we went to was to see Bob down at the hospital, and he wasn't in his room, he was down getting dialysis. They said he was going to be a couple hours, so we left him a note. Went on to the next place. We went down to see Opal Wiley, who we believed was living with her daughter downtown. Drove all the way downtown to discover that Opal moved down to Lenexa. That's okay. You know, we get back in the car. Let's go see Myra. So I call Myra's daughter, and she's like, "Oh, you know what? The hospice nurse is here right now. This really isn't a good day. Can you guys come somewhere?" Yeah, I got to tell you, it was starting to get a little disheartening. I was a little disappointed. Here we had rushed out with enthusiasm and hope, right? We were gonna be the light. All we had done is taken a tour of the city. Don't get me wrong. Francis is a pleasant guy to drive around with in your car. If you have to drive around for an hour and a half and not see people, I highly recommend Francis to ride around with you. We had pleasant conversation, but I was like, "Holy cow, here Francis is offering to help and offering to be the light. And good Lord, I can't get anybody to be at home." It got pretty frustrating, pretty defeating. You know, there's darkness everywhere. And the church, you and I, we're called to be the light that stands against that darkness. We are the ones called to shine hope and love and grace into the darkness of this world. And when we finally get the moxie to do it, to stand against the gathering darkness as a beacon of the body of Christ, we just hit the ball right in the lumberyard sometimes. You can feel defeated. How many times have you seen someone struggling in their darkness, struggling to survive, struggling to find the light, and you've been the one to shine that light into their moment only to be rejected or missed or misunderstood? You tried and you failed. You had the light. You shone it into the darkness, and the darkness seemed to win. And we get disappointed and we get frustrated. And we stop shining that light for a moment. You know, if the world isn't going to respond, why should we waste our time, our energy, our resources shining the light into the darkness? Because you know what? That act requires commitment and risk. It weighs on us and wears us down. If the darkness isn't going to go away, then maybe I'll just save my light for me. That is the rut that the church can fall into far too easily. We try and we fail, and so we stop. And the light grows dim. Martin Luther King, in his seminal book, Letters from the Birmingham Jail, wrote the following in the midst of the struggle and strife of the civil rights movement while sitting in jail for protesting the fact that black Americans were suffering at the hands of the darkness we call racism. He wrote this about the church. Things are different now. So often the contemporary church is a weak, ineffectual voice with an uncertain sound. So often it is an arch defender of the status quo, far from being disturbed by the presence of the church. The power structure of the average community is consoled by the church's silence, and often even vocal sanction of things as they are. As the darkness of racism prevailed, King called on churches to do what they were called to do, what they were instituted to do, what they were created to do, shine light into the darkness, and to not stop, even if we lose, even if we fail, even if we fall, even if it seems like the darkness is winning, because it isn't. Darkness cannot drive out light. The smallest light set against the greatest darkness still prevails. We are called to be that light. As you go back into your lives today, there is darkness all around. Maybe in your life, maybe in the life of a loved one, maybe in the life of someone you are going to encounter today, it is out there. What will you do? Save your light for when you need it? For when your darkness comes back? Or will you shine that light into the darkness all around, even if it seems futile, even if it doesn't always work, even if you get frustrated? Will you continue to shine that light? Francis and I were at a point Thursday where it would have been much easier to throw in the towel, go get a cup of coffee, go on with the rest of our day. Three attempts to reach someone. Share communion with them, pray with them, visit with them. We'd struck out three times. We had done nothing but burn gas. But we did not let the darkness of doubt diminish the light we were shining forth. You know what? We said, let's go to one more. And that person was home. And they were so excited to see us. They let us in. We sat in their living room. We talked and shared and joked for a while. We prayed together. We took communion together, just the three of us, in their living room. And afterwards, the person said, it has been so long since I've had communion. Thank you. I needed that so much. And we left there, and we went to the next place. And the next place, the gentleman was home, and you know, he doesn't get out at all anymore. Sits at home by himself all day, and Francis and I sat there for I don't know how long talking about Ford cars, of which I have zero knowledge whatsoever. But by golly, we talked about them. We visited and we shared. We left there and we said, let's go to one more. And so you know what? We went down to see Opal. Even though she'd moved, we went down to her new place. And her face lit up when we walked in. She was so excited that someone from the church had come and remembered her, had come to see her. I know that the darkness seems great. I know that it seems overwhelming. But believe me when I say it is broken by a single light. Go forth, church. Be the light.